Last time on Lawful Stupid.
You're at World's End, the city of the Geospawn that you've just traveled through. And the city is aflame. And you can hear the sound of things burning, buildings falling.
It is over for this place. We must return.
Suddenly, your vision of the city is obstructed. It's almost like you're looking through a window into a library.
Gustavo, Donny Dancer, are you all seeing this?
A figure emerges within your view and then steps out. I've been looking for you.
For me?
Who are you?
The Grand Magus. Declan said I should keep an eye on this portal.
Where is he?
He's not dead. I saw him 2 months ago. The Geospawn started a war about half a year ago. A civil war.
Where does Papa be now?
Aegos? There's only a few times a day I can use my tower's magic to actually go places.
Okay, so we just have to wait a day and then we can get back?
Yeah.
Time to fix our mess, I guess.
Well, let's decide it then. Tomorrow, we'll try y'all's Yonkaru plan. Until then, get comfortable. So yeah, you're in the Grand Magus' tower. You guys have just finished your conversation, and you have until tomorrow to determine to then enact your plan that you've so cleverly thought of. So you have the night to explore the tower if you'd like to explore different places. He has pointed you to it's a 4-story tower. He has directed you to rooms opposite of the library, so it's not far to go to like the guest rooms, but then there's 4 stories, and so well, I have some preparations to do before tomorrow. I'll be off. Feel free to explore my tower. Two rules: don't take anything, and please don't die. Really is a mess for me to clean up later. Yes, please.
Gus has his hand raised.
Yes.
When you said, like, no taking anything, that doesn't count for, like, food, right? Like, if I find, like, your larder.
Oh, if you want to eat the food, do so at your own risk. Or not. It's hard to say. It depends on the room you're in, truly.
All right.
Depends on the room.
Okay. Yeah, there's plenty. Take your pick.
Oh, are any of them booby-trapped? You just make it sound like it is.
Well, it is... I don't have a lot of visitors. Not since Alaria left. But, so, all I have to say is, you know, it's a chaotic world, right? I know where everything is, and I know how to not get, you know, dead. It's not that there's booby traps. It's just not visitor-friendly. But hey, you're welcome. Mikasa Sukasa.
Was Alaria your girlfriend? Now the place is very messy because she's gone and
are all girls your girlfriends?
Yes, I like to think so. But I'd never ask.
Oh,
very polite.
That's good that you think that. Oh, good. Just make assumptions about their thoughts and feelings. That's wonderful. I hear they love that.
Very, very looking for companionship, and thought maybe you had tips from this Alaria. She like you know?
I don't. We were co-workers at best.
Ah,
I mean, we're friends.
The friend
It's not
zone.
Like she left on bad terms.
Is this the friend
this
zone?
This is a weird thing that you're getting into my personal business.
I'm really just trying to bring up
it
Alaria
is now.
In a natural way.
Yeah, that's cool. You didn't do that, though. You did it in a very weird way, and now I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, let's try this.
But that's okay.
This nice place you have. Any friends come to visit, ever?
I don't have a lot of visitors, but Mikasa Sukasa.
It looks like Gus is putting together like a really elaborate fondue set, but I'm casting locate object, and the object I would like to locate is cheese.
Cheese, okay. All right, you're working on that.
I thought about it for a while, and I was like, what's the one thing I can search for that'll take me to a place where food is kept? And I was like, if there's cheese in any other circumstance, pray for the Grand Maggots.
Darling's going to be standing there looking about the room, hands behind her back, just like, you know, innocent and all. It's fine.
Darling all has right. stolen everything. The moment he said, don't take anything, she started filling her interdimensional bra full of treasures.
It's mine and this. And
this is shiny. Well, that one feels cursed. Well, I've got two of those already.
Where do you keep your enchanted jewelry?
Just going to sell that one later.
That's my darling impression.
Again, be careful. Have a wonderful night. I'm off. And he exits.
Night, Grandpa.
Night, son.
Doing a cheese ritual. Gonna find all the snacks.
All right. While Gus is just finding all the cheeses, I will let Paul or Darling to pick where you would like to go. Describe what you're looking for. I have a list of rooms. I can happily give you one or let you explore and find one naturally or randomly. Up to you.
I'd like to poke around and find that library.
You're in it.
Oh, I'm in it? I want to poke around the library.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
That's the library. Oh, yeah. And then the windows against the wall.
I want to pull books, just like see if any of them are actually like to a secret room. This seems like the kind of guy that does that shit.
Okay. See if you can make that window point to May.
I can see.
I'll get the fuck out of here. You see
the seasons?
Here.
The seasons start changing rapidly.
No, that's not what I meant.
Nah. I didn't get the joke.
Yeah, you're looking through these books, and do me a favor, roll me a d20.
Just flat?
Just flat.
Yeah, sure. And 18.
With an 18, you find... you pull a book out, and it's called the Elemental Codex. And it's a comprehensive reference work that details nature, its properties, interactions, and the four fundamental elements... for those who imbibe for the nature, the like more natural elemental magic, and it talks about like the summoning and control of elemental forces.
This is a very nerdy book.
Yeah.
She'll flip through it just to see if she can glean anything that might help with the fae stuff.
It's a very fucking magical book. Yeah. It looks rare.
Yeah. No, she's gonna flip through it. She's got some phase shit to take care of. It's elements, sure. But like it's kind of next door neighbor. At least yeah, in her mind.
Do you want to review that one or try to find something a little bit more what you're looking for? I'll let you try again. Unless you just want to spend the whole time looking for something about the fae, I'm sure you would have an opportunity to find one, but it would take you a bit to get through the books.
She will balance this one on her head and look for a fae book specifically.
Okay, do me a favor and roll a history check for me, please.
Yeah, sure. 4.
Excellent. You're going to be there a while. Paul Barrow, where would you like to go?
Yeah, were there any snacks in this room, like on the table? They're just even just crackers when we got in. Like, is there anything, any food laying around?
No.
Then I was going to grab it up and as that much, but...
No, the only thing that you see that's, like, drink-related is one of those globes that's, like, half open, and you can tell it's actually not a globe. It's really just, like, a place for a decanter and glasses, and the decanter has alcohol in it.
I'm going to pour a little bit of whatever's in there, and then I'm going to go down the hallway listening. I imagine there might be other people. That's what Paul Merrill thinks. There's other people here. Surely we're not the only ones. And kind of listening to these other doors that are closed, I'm assuming. Most of them are closed.
Oh, yeah, all the doors are closed.
Do I hear anything 100%. As I come up to any of the doors? Is there something, any sounds?
Let's see. You would hear... roll a perception check. Okay. Let's see which one you hear, gotcha. If any.
Perception... got 20. Crit.
Okay, I will let... With a 20, I will let you pick where you go based on the sounds I'll describe. And you can try to go to multiple rooms if there's time. So you hear the bubbling of liquids, the popping of the air itself, and like the clanking of glasses and coming from one room. Another room, you hear like a low guttural growl and a little and some noises like that. And then you I won't say you hear, I will say you like smell the outdoors from another one. So you can pick a room.
I'm gonna... I think maybe I hear the sounds, but as I get closer to the one that I can sort of smell, that draws me in a little more. And I'm going to... knock? Hello? Knock, knock, knock.
You hear nothing in return.
Then I'll grab the handle, slowly turn, and like peek in like, is anyone in there? Everyone dressed, I'm coming in.
Yeah, so when you open the door and you peek in, it grows, it reveals like an expansive area, and you can see that this is a a botanical garden of sorts, with exotic plants and flowers overflowing, and there's like a pathway and some hedges, and like, you ever seen those grass statues where it's like a statue made out of a bush? There's some of those with like different heroes and different like monster figurines. It's definitely very curated and very ornate. And then of course you see like where the wilder parts of the garden are, and you can kind of see that big arch and opening from where you stand.
Okay. I'm gonna walk in, and can I tell what this? There's a bunch of the different like statues around. I know you say statues, like shrubbery, like things.
Yeah, there's shrubbery art or whatever. Yeah, there's several. What
are they? I guess. What is there like a theme to them?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. So some of them you don't recognize, from just, you don't like recognize the people they are, because they're like, some are wizards, some are like knights, some are, other like creatures and things. There's one of a dragon, like a small dragonling. But you continue to walk down and you, are able to determine that there's statues of, or these grass statues or whatever you would call it, of... You can tell that one looks like Kristoff, one looks like Fendel, and it basically has all the guardians, essentially. But you do notice, as you're like going through, there are no signs of the gods in any way, shape, or form. But there's over a dozen statues. Grass statues, whatever you call them.
Man, I really want to know. There's got to be a better way to say this.
I know, it's...
I'm looking it up now.
What are shrub?
Hedge art is my best guess.
Topiary.
Topiary. Yeah. Topiary.
Is what the first. Yep.
So topiary is what we're calling it.
Topiary.
Is this the guardian?
That's the
gardens?
First result, so I'm going with it. It is not. And like I said, there's flowers, there's exotic plants.
We would know like who Kristoff and Fendel, like those characters are like.
Yeah, absolutely. They are called the Guardians of Goron, and they committed their deed and their heroic efforts 20 years ago, 22 years ago, give or take, now that some time has passed. And it's a very famous story. There are children book versions. There are novels. There are historical accounts.
Action figures.
There are people who've made toys and dolls.
Christoph has a comic book.
All kinds of stuff like that.
I got it.
there's a comic book that only goes up to like the first bit of the adventure. Then people lost steam.
Probably placards of places they've been. Sure. You know, like historical markers.
Yeah, exactly.
You can take like a copper piece and you put it in this little contraption, and then it like goes and then it comes out and it's like smushed and it's got Christoph's face on it.
Nope. Mm-mm. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist. That exact same thing does exist, but it's only always for Rowan's Electra. Face. It's only for Rowan, and no matter like it shows every other guardian, but no matter which one, you can never get anybody but Rowan, and it always winks at you.
I love it. He's. Would I imagine, Dwayne, if I could have a little bit of leeway? I imagine that these topiaries that you described are maybe even in like a giant cylindrical, like you can walk around in a circle.
Yeah, and that's it connects what, they're in the center.
Yes.
And then there's hedges behind it with all the exotic plants that you would like walk in a botanical garden. If you've ever been to one, there's usually like an area that opens up, mm-hmm. and there's pathways that you can kind of weed. Or wind behind. It's that kind of vibe.
I think he gets to Atlas's topiary. And if we're calling it the wrong thing, audience, sorry. Just, you know what we mean.
It's topiary.
It is what it is. That's the first result.
And he kind of, he almost like, he's looking up at it, and he's tearing up a little bit. And he says, Father, are you here? Almost expecting an answer, and as he looks around, no one's around that he can perceive, and so he's going to put like a hand on the statue and drop to his knee and say, "Oh, great one, give me the strength that you have to not be a coward. Help me to find Papa. I can't do this alone. Put on a tough exterior, but I am weak, and I need your strength for my brother, for my sister." For me, help me to be the great guardian you are.
Roll a religion check for me.
It is a 15.
Paul Barrow, you've knelt at a avatar of Bellamere. And you've called in earnest and in vulnerability out for help and assistance. And you are met with silence.
He'll, hearing nothing, he'll kind of wipe it away. He'll shake it off and perhaps just continue strolling around the garden thinking, what? What an idiot.
Yeah, roll me a d20.
Just flat?
Flat.
Can't do it. It's a one.
It's a one?
Yeah.
Excellent. You roll up. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Good, 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 good. You're walking around this garden, this botanical garden of sorts, this magical, mysterious place of wonder, and it's starting to get darker as you're like following through, but you're seeing all these beautiful plants and some vines and some like weird looking plants that look aggressive, but you got plenty of room. And so when you're walking, if it finally gets really dark and you can see in the pathway, there's suddenly like no plants for a bit. It's like just grass. And then there's this circular area that's almost lit by the moon. And so you walk up to this like small this small center pedestal, and there's like a bushel of flowers growing there. And it's like it's a rare flower. You can just tell that you're not like a connoisseur of the nature world, or you don't have a green thumb, so to speak.
A topiarist.
But a topiarian, as it were. But so its petals like emit a soft, like ethereal glow. It's almost like this silver white color, even yellowish as you're trying to look. But as you kind of look up, there's an artificial or what appears to be magical moonlight shining down upon it. As you approach, you see there's a plaque that says what it is, and it's called the Stardust Blossom. And it just gives a quick little description of, you know, these being known for their potent healing properties, and when brewed into teas or other potions, it accelerates the body's healing process, and has it even been known to rejuvenate limbs?
I will... And there's just one? There's like one of these?
It's like a bushel of them, right? Like, you've ever seen a flower? Like a bushel of flowers. There's several of them, but you can tell that this flower bed is just dedicated to these. There's not a ton, right? You can't just like get like a bunch, but there's not just the one.
I'm gonna take like three or four of them. It's not a lot. Like, they were gonna go back, hopefully, and I will take three or four of those and put them in a pouch.
Do me a favor and roll a nature check for me, please.
Eight.
Yeah, so you go to take four of them. Due to the fragility and the rareness and proper circumstance required for these to grow, when you're picking them, you pick four, but then two of them just wilt immediately. But two more of them just stay this vibrant glow. You can tell you like got them just right.
Okay. I'll store them away, and as soon as I'm able to talk to Gus, I know that he needs to know.
All right, so you'll continue to explore the garden as we move. And we're on to Gus. Gus, you have spent time laboring over your fondue set, concentrating, honing, and you detect it. You can feel it in the middle of the tower. And so you're able to follow the line down, and you find yourself into what can only be described as the Grand Magus's enchanted kitchen. Entering the Grand Magus's kitchen is like stepping into a realm where culinary arts intertwine with magical craftsmanship. The room is spacious, well lit, and has high ceilings. There's a subtle aroma of exotic herbs, spices, meats that all just... It's a lot to take in. But for someone of your skill and caliber, it is the next thing to paradise. Where would you like to begin? So that was a lot of time there, darling. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Wow. I think... this is a welcome distraction for Gus. He needs to get his mind off some things. So he is going to just go to town. He's gonna like dirty every dish. He's gonna make like a full 7-course spread.
Okay, so you're just immediately gonna jump in and start using pots and pans and ingredients. So I think you'll end up immediately in the ingredient pantries. So near the back of this kitchen, this vast kitchen, you see along the walls are rows of intricately carved wooden cabinets housing jars, bottles, vials, containing both mundane and rare ingredients. You see labels that say powdered dragon scales, phoenix feathers, moon flowers, and then you even see some names that you don't necessarily recognize because they're in languages you don't know how to read.
Gus is going to set about taking like some favorite ingredients out that he recognizes and trying just a tiny chef's taste of everything that he doesn't recognize.
So We'll just give you a couple examples. One of them, you take it and immediately your tongue goes numb. Immediately. For like 4 seconds. And after that, it's followed by the most sour taste. But it's delicious. If not overwhelming. And there's another one that you take a bit and it almost reminds you of the blue-eyed Sylvie nuggets, where there's like a little zappy. And then the last one, you taste it, and it's almost like you're tasting the ocean in this dried rub. And so, what do you want to cook? I mean, there's a lot of options here.
Yeah. So,
what are you looking for?
I'm gonna take that sour stuff that I found, and I'm gonna like make up like a frothy like cream like punch. To serve as kind of like a beverage. I'm really interested in this like ocean like dry rub. I wonder if I could do like get some shellfish, maybe some lobster, and do like a kind of a rub on that, and then do up like some skewers.
Okay.
And
so here's what I would like you to do, Gus.
Okay.
There is a meal you would like to prepare.
Yes.
I would like you to figure out the meal you would like to prepare. I'm going to go to the other players. And when we come back, you're going to tell me the meal you'd like to prepare and the vibe. And then I'm going to give you whatever that result looks like from a fantastical perspective. Darling, you have been searching this library. And it's been a minute. Like, you feel like you've went, God, how many books does he have? And none of them are about anything that I care about. And then you find a book that can only be described... as soon as you see it, it makes sense, right? The spine... I don't know why I'm snapping a lot tonight. The spine
you got
of
some
it
attitude.
Is full of color. It almost shimmers when you see it. When you touch it, you feel it go through your whole body. It just feels familiar. And when you pull it down, the title reads, Whispers of the Enchanted Realm. Oh, sorry, the Enchanted Grove. A Journey into the Wilds. And you read the back of the book, because this is back of the book. It's got a short little description. It says, Whispers of the Enchanted Grove is a captivating tome. Written by an esteemed scholar and adventurer who spent years exploring the realms and came back to write this guide, and offers a mesmerizing and deep glimpse into the hidden wonders of the perilous secrets of the wilds.
She will cheer and stop with her like messing around with books to see if she can find a secret passageway to anything, and then like settle in right where she stood, sit down, crisscross applesauce, like nose right into book.
You absolutely can do that. On the other hand, there are several, like, sofas, chairs. There's, like, a bunch of areas for people to sit and read, depending on the Grand Magus' mood.
Nope, right there. Right there. She just plopped herself right down, like, oh, I found it. This is my spot now.
And so your goal is to begin consuming the content in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Roll me an arcane check.
Fifteen.
Excellent. So you begin reading this book, and to describe it, I will never be able to do its justice because I am simply just a man. But it is difficult and easy at the same time. You are reading words that you don't really understand, but you feel what they mean. And we're gonna get back to what you learn, Paul Barrow. You are you going to continue to explore the gardens and just hang out there? Or is there another thing you want to do before we go back to Gustum?
No, I feel like the gardens is like any other parents at the zoo. Like, hey, this is great and all, but like not that much else here, and I would have left. I was also a little bit interested in what might be going on over in that first room, or like bubbling and things, like glasses clinking.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so what we're going to do, just transparently, we're going to get you to that room, boom, get you boom, set up, yep. and then we're going to leave you. All right. So you make your way back to the room that has the bubbling and clinking. And do you just walk in?
Yes.
Yeah, confidently you walk in. Devin, I don't know if Paul Barrow would know, but do you know what a backdraft is?
I do not know this thing.
Cool. Not important. Don't worry. So you walk into this, this what can only be described as a laboratory. So the room is filled with bubbling cauldrons, shelves lined with vials and jars. Some look really odd. Some look like liquids and ingredients. Some are obviously monster parts. The air is thick with the scent of potions and... cool, my lights just went off. Whatever. The air is thick with a scent of potions and magic, and it feel like you feel like you're walking through a fog almost. And there's like arcane symbols on the walls and on the tables, and there's you can see there's books scattered around. And you found yourself in an alchemical laboratory. But we're going to go back to Gus. So, Gus.
Yo.
What meal have you decided on?
All right. So, it is a full 7-course spread. We're starting out, obviously, with our soulful soup du jour. That's going to be a very wonderful soup. It makes it feel like your mom's hugging you when you eat it. And if you look at it, you see a reflection of yourself, but exactly how you want to look. I've taken some of that that sour stuff. I did make a milk punch, a sour punch with some straws. There's crab cakes is what I decided to use that ocean rub on. So I'm making those zesty, super flavorful ocean cakes with all that natural salt in there. I found a wheel of cheese with it kind of has like a spiral through it, and that's like a super like almost buttery, herbaceous layer of flavor. And I was like, oh man, I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna make that some nachos. I took every pepper that I could find, I quick pickled them, and I made sliders. So they're very spicy and very delicious. The largest whole animal I can find, I would like to roast on a spit.
It's the first, just the largest one?
Yeah, the biggest whole animal is what I've written in my notes. The largest whole animal that will fit on a spit.
I mean, depends on how big your spit is. I will say that one person could easily handle. And it's like a big ass hog looking monster, but you're not familiar with what it is.
Excellent.
But it's a good 40 pounds.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot of meat.
The last thing is something that I've been working on for a long time. I call it endless pudding. And I don't have the recipe quite worked out yet, but it's supposed to be just like the tiniest little dollop of like a sweet, creamy treat. But as soon as it touches your tongue, it kind of does like this expansion process, and it's just like it goes for a while. You're having this sweet, refreshing, creamy, sweet treat for as long as you got the gumption to have it. But yeah.
That's
7 courses.
Sounds wonderful. And let me ask you this. From your perspective, as Gus, being in this kitchen, would you say that those are recipes Gus knew, or he just kind of threw together on the fly because he had access to all these things?
It's a combination. It's going on some tried and true recipes that he knows are always crowd pleasers, and then also trying to innovate with these new ingredients that he doesn't usually have access to.
Perfect. So what I would like you to do, for the sake of maybe understanding, maybe whimsy, roll me a wisdom saving throw.
You got a boss.
Oh, that is an 11, sir.
Do me a favor and pick 3 of those courses. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say that Gus, like, knows those recipes now really well and has access to the majority of the resources in his extra dimensional pantry, just like the inspiration of this. And once you give me those three, pick one and I will give it a magical property for you.
So very selfishly, I'm going to pick the nachos for one because I this whole adventure starts with cheese, it ends with cheese. That's how I live my life. And then the other two, I want to be whatever Sprout's favorite and whatever Paul Barrow's favorite is.
Of the options. What's the name of your nachos?
I guess I haven't named them.
You think about that. Yeah. Avon, what was your favorite out of the seven?
I don't know. They all sounded kind of fun.
Which one has the most meat?
Oh, that would
that would be the
that
hog.
Would be the hog.
Let's do that's it.
Probably the lightest one.
I would like to call mine the beef hog enough.
Please. You could go for the soup, which makes it feel like your mom's hugging you, and makes you look really pretty when you look at your reflection in it. Or you could go for the sour punch. You could go for that.
Those are I'm both. Gonna go with the soup, but we also don't know what a mom hug feels like, so this is gonna be weird.
Notoriously.
And Darlin already thinks she's super pretty, so how do you top that?
Well, let me tell you this. First of all, your reflection's just you with more tails. Second of all, it feels exactly like how you imagined it would.
Fucking knows.
You know what? It's going to feel like the hugs that her brothers actually give her. That's how it appears.
Perfect. And the name of the nachos, sir?
Sorry, I was riffing on other stuff, so I wasn't paying attention to the one job that I had. They're going to be called, Gus's Little Secret.
All right, so let's think.
Gus's little Secret.
Okay. All right. Here's the magical property, and then I'll kind of go through what it is. So the magical property is essentially illusionary transformation. So upon consuming Gus's Little Secret, the eater can choose to transform into a different form, such as another race, another creature, or even an inanimate object. The transformation is purely illusionary, but is incredibly convincing, fooling both sight and touch. The eater retains their original abilities, memories, and consciousness while appearing as the chosen form. And for the mechanical piece, the hard numbers of it, the duration is for an hour. And if somebody is going to discern, whether you're legitimate or not, through sight or touch, they are going to need to do so against your DC saving throw plus 4. It is incredibly potent, and the effect can only happen once every 24 hours.
So this allows me to modify myself, and it would fool touch as well, you're saying?
It is convincing to sight and touch. But if somebody, like, literally is, like, investigating you, right? Like, if an NPC or another player is, like, literally being like, like, taking a hard look, then they're going to have to do a wisdom saving throw against your spell save plus 4 to see if they can determine that you're false.
So, all I'm saying is, Gus's little secret, the little secret is, it's May's favorite dish.
Gross.
You made all your own conclusions. May just happens gross. To love nachos.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the important mechanical piece is that you should notate for yourself, Chainsaw, is a 1 hour duration. Mm-hmm. Cannot use it more than once an hour or once every 24 hours. Per person, right? Wisdom saving throw. Sorry, I'm literally making this up on the fly. Wisdom saving throw plus 4 to discern. Now, obviously, that doesn't affect magic, right? If somebody has a spell that destroys magic.
Or if they have a true sight or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, right? There are hard counters to it. And obviously, Shane, use with sparity, right? Unless you want me to hard cap your ability to use it.
And I was already thinking of the worst exploits possible. So yes, now that you've asked me to be cool about it, I'll make a note that says be cool about it.
I'm just saying, I can give you a hard cap on your amount of use, but I feel like that restricts your class.
I was already planning on disguising myself as Gus, but on fire, being very convincing to everyone around me that I'm on fire and I will burn them if I hug them.
Perfect. Love it.
And they'll be like, what's the DC? It's a 22. I think I'm on fire.
Perfect. Oh, you could feed people that and make them think they are on fire. You should show them a mirror. Ah, what'd you do to me?
I could serve cold food, and I could be like, that's not going to work. Never mind. Disregard. I'm not magic. I can't warp reality to my whims. I can't make other things. Anyway, I've written Be Cool, and I have it underlined, so I will.
Yep. Perfect. All right, darling, we're going to come back to you and give you just a little bit of taste.
Yes, please.
Let's see. Do me a favor. Roll a d10, please.
Eight.
Okay, with an eight, you are able to... And it takes a while, darling. This is the majority of your time before you need to go night-night.
Okay.
You're able to determine two pieces of information. One, you read through the introduction to the wilds. It talks about... It really unveils... I hate this. Unveils the veil between the material plane and the wilds. And the chapter really explores, like, the nature... That's found within it, like the randomness and the bright colors, and it's very like exciting, right? And it also mentions what this author perceives to be the origin, which is like where she surmises that it could have been like a result of the arcane torrent and the gods and some clash, but it's all that reads very. Speculative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does not sound like it's from a person who's reading, like, giving a guide. And then it does mention one thing that you didn't really know until now, or didn't really have a hard, concrete understanding of. The wilds is a generic term, but you have only been to the Twilight Wilds, and you learn that there are other versions. And then you will then learn. Ah, yes. You learn. You read a chapter, a section of chapters about navigating the wilds, and it talks about how to equip yourself with the invaluable. Tips and tricks for traversing these unpredictable paths and plants, and it gives you some discovery techniques on how to avoid the attention of both the mischievous spirits and potentially the more nefarious ones. And you even learn some like tips for negotiating with the more cunning of these, and. What to expect when that traversing this temporal and very mysterious realm.
Cool. I think she would happily read all of that because that's just fun and amusing, and just the interest is there, and I feel like she would sit on the floor, and then later she'd be like laying on the floor and eventually go gather pillows and bring it to where she was.
Instead of using the couches,
and then eventually a blanket will make its way over, and then she'll probably have snacks that Gus brings over eventually, but she'll be there.
So do me a favor and just notate those two things that you've learned somewhere in your character sheet and remind me later when it comes up. Excellent. So we are going to roll back around to Paul Barrow. You're in the arcane laboratory or Grand Max's laboratory. What would you like to do?
Shoot, everything's breakable in here, right?
Yeah.
This not for me. But
Is there anything that's like dripping into like perhaps from one item into a bottle? Like there's nothing like you know, some stuff maybe streaming through, but is there something
you see? Yeah, you see an apparatus that's like a complex set of glass tubes and beakers. And there's some stuff truly that Paul Barrow just does not have the math for. But you do see at the very bottom of this, there's a vial, and you can see that there's this like almost like purple black galaxy liquid just slowly dropping liquid, yeah, into like the like two fingers of liquid. And when I say glow slowly, I mean it's like you're watching it for a couple minutes seeing drops. It's like a thick boy.
Gonna put one claw to the drop as it goes to drop, and then a little taste test.
Alright, roll new character.
Second. I just gotta figure out what we're gonna do here.
I can't wait to see the new character Devin rolls. I love it.
He's gonna be in a speedo.
This campaign's really maybe testing it's just his, a speedo. His ability to create new characters.
Maybe that's the character.
Do you really want me to draw a new guy in a speedo at this point?
No, yes. Listen, does the character wear the speedo, or is the speedo wear the character?
Depends on the gravitas of the character.
Oh. Yes. All right.
I didn't roll a percentage die or anything, Dwayne. You're just doing whatever.
Well, you walked hey man, up you to around, a very man, serious around. Thing.
It's a very, it's a like, pretty. You said galaxy. How do I not taste the galaxy?
Yeah. Well, what do you want from me? They all like had rand picking from giant like libraries of stuff. You went and found a very specific thing. I gave you an example, and you just tasted.
Just tell
it.
Me if so it was delicious first before anything else happened. Was it delicious?
Oh, it was delicious. It tastes like sweet tarts mixed with sour Airheads. And so
that's what I thought Rainbow Bowl tasted like.
It's the galaxy.
Yeah,
Bowl.
Probably. And so Paul Barrow. The world around you shifts. It melts away. It's like ice cream melting before your very eyes. And you're in this darkness. And while you're in this darkness, suddenly there's a shifting of lights, like a bunch of blurring lights, and then boom, the sky is filled with stars. And above you, you can see five thrones, and you can see roll me a religion check.
It's a 12.
Thank you, Devin.
Okay.
So, do you see these five thrones? And they're high up. They're a good 30 feet away from you. They look like they were for giants. And you look up to the far right throne, and a light emits. Boom! It's like a purple dark. It emits over that throne. It shines. It shows the throne is empty. The next throne. Boom! Light emits, and you see this like red, this dark red color, and you see the throne is empty, and that's on your right side. On the left side, light emits, and there's this like light green, and it's almost like sparkling gold as it trickles down, And then next to that one, the light emits again. And it's the most comforting white gold light that you've ever felt. And the throne sits empty. And then the last room, the light emits. And to describe what that would be requires words that none of us understand. It's a mix of white and yellow and blue and purple and red. It's essentially every color on the spectrum at once. And the light fills down to the throne. And on that throne sits a female figure. And she says, "What do we have here?" And that's where we're going to end this episode.
I tasted the rainbow.
Yeah, you did.
That's what happened.
You did.
Wow. Okay, let's do this endgame stuff so we can get to the next episode.
Yeah.
Who are we supporting this month? Shane.
Charity. Let's do it.
Who do our dollars go to?
What's the Shane? What is the? What, okay, I'm seeing here it says the Shane Song Foundation for Shane Thanks. What is that?
I'm glad you asked. It's a really important charity. It's dear to my heart. And I'm going through the chat right now to try to find one. Give me a second.
It really is about helping Shane fund his addiction to microtransactions and inside of video games. It's going to a worthy cause.
Really, I mean, I guess really I'll buy a lot some of Diablo 4 cosmetics. I don't really want to.
I'll do it for the podcast. I'll do it for the kids.
Okay, I got one.
So Shane, if you'll just give us the roll for humanity with that very thought through and well prepared charity that we're going to be helping.
Yeah, so we are proud to be giving our dollars this month to the Cat Depot. This is a fan recommended charity. Guess what they do? They help cats get adopted and cared for. They help out the kitty cats, and kitty cats are important because they're so cute and I love them. And you can give your dollars to Cat Depot if you want to roll for animality. We have rolled an 18.
Yay.
Ooh. That's so good.
It's two cat lives. I like it. I love it.
That's neantastic.
18.
That's good, Shane. Don't ever tell you different.
That's good. Okay, cool. So we have moved on. We are moving on to the dad joke portion of the night. And boy, howdy, am I excited about this one. Why don't adventurers like to hang out with a rogue?
Because they typically steal from the party.
Because they always stab him in the back.
Because they always take things personally.
Hmm.
You're welcome. Next! Devin.
Okay, there we go. Hey, what concert costs just 45 cents?
Wait. It's when you see 50 Cent and Nickelback is opening.
Dang it.
Woo.
Stupid dads. That was no.
Sign my documents.
I'll sign them. Give me those documents. I'll sign them right now.
I'll send them over.
Sign his dunk, buddy.
Avon, tell me a funny ass joke.
Where do trees go to learn?
Topiary.
the topiarium.
The tree nursery.
The topiary academy.
The tree nursery.
Ooh, where do trees...
School.
Yeah, I don't know. The nursery is good. The nursery.
No, I mean, it's good.
It's the answer.
Elementary school.
elementary school. Oh, that's really good. I love that. So cute.
Got him. Hey, why do fish live in salt water?
Because they die for sugar water.
Fish live in salt water.
Because pepper makes them sneeze.
I remember my days living in pepper water.
That was good.
All right. As we always say,
oh,
it's
no.
just as hot inside.
We love you.
Love you. Bye.
We love you.
Bye. The thing is, I'm stopping.
We're running.
Only with the power of love can
These
I overcome.
These are all butt fangs. If you're hearing this, now you know the secret.
No!
Code.
No! No! La 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 la!